Hi, this is Don Fluckinger in Toronto on site at OpenText's user conference, Enterprise World 2017. I'm here with Micah Block, OpenText's principal analytics architect. He was the technical lead on the newly introduced Magellan AI package. And he's here to talk about the making of Magellan and sort of what can it do. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Don.
So I guess to begin, just give us a short story, the making of Magellan sort of, and what's interesting about it from your perspective.
All right, so Magellan is actually the combination of three different technologies in a single self-wired platform, pre-wired platform. There is text analytics, and that's through an acquisition from Einstein. There is advanced analytics and predictive analytics through an acquisition through Criterion. And then there's an enterprise BI platform through an acquisition of Actuate. So we actually have a single platform that can combine text analytics and sentiment analytics, can do machine learning algorithms against large amounts of data, and it has enterprise BI through our iHub platform. And at the core and at the heart of this, it's sitting on top of Spark. So we have connection to any large big data database, any Hadoop distribution. And in front of the Spark database, we actually have our Magellan notebook, which is a variation of the Jupyter notebook, where we can code in either Python, Scala, or R to run any machine learning algorithm.
Right. So I understand it's available in several different configurations, or it will be soon. So to unpack that, there's a network appliance, a virtual appliance, a bundle of services that may be down the road. Just explain all that.
Yeah, so initially what we're going to deliver are virtual appliances. So it's going to be self-configured virtual appliances for the different pieces of the platform. And the reason being is that we want to make it easier for our customers to install it. It'll be available either on-premise, so you could actually install these appliances on-premise, or you can distribute this to a public cloud like AWS or Azure. We're also planning a physical appliance, so you basically just wheel this big box into your corporation and it could sit behind your firewall. And then again, that's just to add the simplicity, because there are so many pieces within this architecture. It can you have the iHub, the InfoFusion product, and the big data analytics all within a single platform, and you just don't have to configure anything.
Yeah, network appliances, like, to me as a tech reporter, seem kind of 1986. Is that because some customers are highly regulated and they're really isolating their data lakes? Or why an appliance in 2017?
The real reason is to make it simpler, right? Because of the, I wouldn't say the complexities, but because there's a lot of different pieces within the architecture, is that you just roll in this appliance and it's everything's there. It's got the Spark, it's got the Hadoop, it's got your data lake all within a single appliance. Where we see the majority of our customers is to use the virtual appliances, because they might already have a Spark within their environment. They might already have a data lake. So we can actually just build our platform on top of their existing data lake. There'll be some customers who either don't have the IT infrastructure or don't have the bandwidth, where we could just roll in a piece of hardware and they're up and running within days. The third way we're going to distribute Magellan is through the OpenText Cloud. And in this scenario, and this is going to be available later this year, we're going to enable our customers just to open up a Magellan instance in the cloud, and they could do everything within the OpenText Cloud. Our OpenText Cloud runs our business network platform, is one of the most stable and protected private networks are out there in the world today.
Your customers have a choice of many different AI tools, like the ones that are running Salesforce, can use Einstein or SAP, Leonardo. Why would they choose Magellan over other choices they might have for AI tools, because it's not an easy investment to configure, set up, and use, and sort of create workflows around AI. So why are they coming to Magellan when they have all these other choices?
So there's a few advantages. So the first one, unlike Watson, we're not a closed environment. I kind of like to think about it similar, the difference between the iPhone and the Android. The iPhone is a closed system. The Android is an open system and can be integrated into anything, and you own that product. Watson is a closed system. OpenText Magellan is based on open source. It's your system. It's open. You can use your own data models. You can use your own algorithms, and you could all embed it. So that is one unique differentiator. The other thing is something we like to call the democratization of AI. So I can now share the algorithms across my user base. So I, as a data scientist, I could write an algorithm. Once I test it and train it, I could then share that with a knowledge worker who can actually use that algorithm without knowing the science behind it to actually run that against different data sets. Once that knowledge worker actually says, yeah, this is what I want to do, you know what, I need to share that with all our customers, I'm going to pass it on to the iHub and use that as an operational report, an operational dashboard, so they actually be able to support that whole user system between the data scientist, the knowledge worker, and the operation user is very unique. To add to that, the whole text analytics, again, it's a single platform. We can actually ingest content from anything that's in FileNet, Documentum, any ECM repository. We can ingest that, and we added this year also social media and web platforms, so we could also get sentiment analysis, how people are talking about that. And again, it's all within a single platform, so we could get kind of a more full view of our customers.
Right, and not just say the CRM silo or the database back end.
Exactly.
Done. Financial. Okay, got it. Okay, so what use cases do you imagine customers, at least the early adopters, using Magellan for? I mean, what's the most natural fit now that you've sort of seen the rollout?
Yeah. So we already have a few different customers already using our pre-beta versions before we actually distributed. And some of the use cases that are very popular is customer segmentation. We actually demonstrated an example of that at our keynote on Tuesday, where we're trying to find out, you know, the customers who are more likely to answer a campaign, customers who are likely to purchase a specific product, customers who are frequent users, and we could combine that in using multiple models into a single data set and have a better customer experience. So get a better customer experience, get better responses to our campaign, so that customer experience is one use case. Another use case is kind of preventive maintenance, right? So I can now, through our text analytics, get information from cases that are in our system. So people type in, that's all unstructured content. I could take that information, plus information from manuals, plus information from IoT devices, from cars and trains, use all that information to combine it to actually improve my maintenance on my vehicles, my trains, whatever it is, and decrease my maintenance costs, improves my fleet efficiency, improves my train efficiency. So that's kind of the another example. And the last example is more, it's very popular. It's being done today, things like risk management, fraud detection. And because we actually also have BPM in our process suite, we can now, through our APIs, when we actually detect something to be fraud or detecting something to have a risk, we could start a process, open a work order for maintenance, alert a customer service agent, send a text to a customer. And we could do that all within our platform.
And why can AI help find fraud better than, say, humans could, or monitoring dashboards? Is it just because the sheer volume of stuff it can spider?
it's not only the volume, it's also the complexity of the data. I mean, we can read manuals and we could probably detect, and maybe if we read the, it's the amount of data and the variety of the data, right? Some of our stuff is in unstructured data. Some of our stuff is more structured in databases. To actually combine all that information that could be large, programs can actually just do that better than human beings today.
That makes sense. So a lot of tech vendors and customers are jumping into AI. It's the new shiny thing you can get this year. And, you know, the CIO talks the CEO into opening the purse and let's do AI. What do you see the most promising thing about this technology, you know, right now and maybe into the future? Not necessarily Magellan, just like AI as a thing.
It's interesting because I think that we don't realize how much AI we use today, right? You know, we use our phones to ask questions. Just the idea of recognizing our voice, and because we could say the same thing multiple times and it's actually a different computer wave. We use AI on our daily basis a lot today, and that's going to just expand in the future. And where we can, where we see it happening is some popular things today. You know, we're talking about self-driving cars that uses artificial intelligence. I think the medical industry will actually continue to improve. I don't think we're going to replace doctors yet, but it's not going to be far from the future. I think from in the business world, where we're going to find more and more AI is for very specific tasks. So fraud detection was one of them. If I want to forecast revenue, I want to do. So if you give AI programs very specific tasks, they're going to be able to replace pretty much anything that we could feel can be automated. And I think where the limitation of AI going into the future is really in the creative world, right? There are AI programs that wrote symphonies. If you talk to any musician, they'll say they're very mechanical and they're very dry. I think that where AIs will not replace our jobs are in the creative and the service industries, because we as human beings want to be serviced for the most part by human beings. I don't personally want an AI waiter. Maybe you do. But I think we need that interaction. So there's going to be limits to what we will be using, at least in the foreseeable future. But I think that anything that can be automated will be automated.
Well, this has all been great and very interesting. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Don.